Starting over and reinventing the career is an unfortunately common experience these days, even for those people that you might think are sorted. Jenny Mae Clarkson is a familiar face for many of us, going from netball sporting hero to leading the TVNZ breakfast couch every morning. But then suddenly, it came to a stop.
There was certainly a time on breakfast where I hit rock bottom. And it's a pretty yuck place to be when you're so exposed on national telly. There were times I wouldn't have wanted to be around me.
And for all of the gloss and lighting and makeup, the truth is simple. The people on screen rely on that paycheck just as much as anyone else.
Nobody cares about what you do behind the scenes. They only care about your performance.
So when the studio lights go out, what's next?
They call them golden handcuffs, man. That's what was keeping me there. The change I saw in my sons in that 1 week of just having me around, I knew at that moment, this is the right thing. It was time.
It's not the first career pivot for Jenny Mae, so does she have another plan that she's putting into action? And what about tips for the rest of us if we're in a similar tight spot?
A lot of people want to pivot. I think there's a lot of unhappy people in the work that they do. But the reality is, it's a weekly or a fortnightly or a monthly paycheck. And it's the stability that we all need.
Plenty of us know what it's like to pretend you're fine while secretly doing the maths in your head. And whether these pivots are empowering or forced on us before we're ready, most of us will eventually face a moment like this.
Because what if I don't get another job? What if it doesn't work out? What if it does? What if you don't do it? The future is uncertain, and that on a level is scary, but not one I'm unfamiliar with.
It's certainly no easy mission, starting over at 51 in public with the whole country watching you. But there's also something to be said for when you're not starting from scratch, you're starting from experience.
Jenny Mae Clarkson, welcome to Making Sense.
I know, we used to being the other way around. Yeah. So this is a lovely change.
Welcome to my turf.
Yes, I love it.
Well, the last time I was on at that time, your turf, it's quite funny. I am quite glad to have you on here now because, yeah, I last talked to you on breakfast. And I always love having the good chats with you and talking money first thing in the morning. 6 a.m. There's not that many people I want to talk to, but you were always a lovely one.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And then it was announced so fast that you were leaving. I think it was pretty soon after my last slot with you. And I sort of did the maths and was like, oh, I'm not going to be on TV with her again. She's gone. To me, it seemed very fast. How did you feel about all of it?
The finish date was my choice, given the time of year that it was. And the other part about that too is that I hate fuss, and I didn't want it to be a long drawn out, you know, make an announcement and then 4 weeks later or 6 or 8 weeks later, I'm leaving the show. For me, if I would have had it my way, I would have announced it on the Thursday after the show and I would have been gone after Friday's show. But actually, this has been in the process for me for a couple of years, to be perfectly honest. Two Christmases ago, I'd already started working on my CV. Knowing the fragility of broadcasting and the times that we were in. And also, I was tired. I'd been doing breakfast TV for 4 years at that point, which, again, for anyone who is fronting that show, that's a long time in itself. And so I had spent a summer actually going through my CV, sending it out to really good friends of mine who gave me some very brutal feedback about it.
Love friends like that.
Seriously, I remember it really took a hit. My confidence took a bit of a hit. And then you kind of go, no, this is good. Actually, this is what I need. I need people to be honest with me. Anyway, I did that 2 years ago. And so that transition had already started for me. The problem was my capacity was so small, given the fact that breakfast takes up so much of your time. A lot of people see it from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the morning. Well, that's certainly not the reality. You're up at 3:30. You're into makeup for about 45 minutes. And then that leaves you around about 40 minutes just to go over anything in your own notes that you've made for the show before you actually kick off at 2 minutes to 6. And then we have a meeting straight afterwards. Usually goes for around about an hour to look back on the show, what's coming up the next day. And then I get out of there. But then there was more work to be done, either phone calls, emails, throughout the entire day. And then you've got your own family to deal with. My boys are 9 now, so they've got a lot of extracurricular activities, etc. And most nights you wouldn't be in bed before 9 o'clock at night. So it was full on and I was tired, but I didn't have the capacity to think outside of that. What else can I do? What else, you know, could I potentially look at for employment? And so that kind of for the year went by the wayside. And then, you know, last year the company went through a restructure as well and we had to apply for the breakfast job. So if that wasn't a wake-up call, then I don't know what was for anyone in the industry. So it might have seemed fast for everyone who has watched me on breakfast for the past few years, but in actual fact, this has been a long time in the making. And I am super grateful for the opportunities that I've had, not only on breakfast, but with TVNZ. But it was time. It was time for me to go.
Was it one of those, you know, you say you started thinking about it a couple of years ago, was it one of those where, as you say, you feel the fragility and it's sort of trying to future-proof yourself even as you're getting through that day-to-day? Or had there ever been any conversations? Had there ever been any sort of questions raised?
100% about me future-proofing myself. I've never been one to sit down and let other people dictate where I go to next. I've done that through my entire careers. I haven't necessarily known either where I was heading to. The one thing that I knew I wanted, or two things actually, one was to be a silver fern. And I knew that from a very early age that that's what I was going to do. And then when I came into my early teens, it was to be a police officer. And I ticked both of those things off. Everything else kind of happened along the way. I'm a huge believer in opportunities and they pass us by all the time. It's just that most of the time we're actually not open to them because we're so focused, we're so distracted by so many other things that we miss those opportunities that come by. And I'm sure that there have been opportunities that I have missed along the way somewhere, but I've also been open at different times too. And I believe that that's why my career has bounced all over the place, from being a police officer, from teaching. Although I didn't finish my, I had to do a double degree at Waikato University. I didn't finish my teaching degree. I had 6 weeks practicum to go and I got into radio.
Only six weeks.
And I went, oh, okay, no, I'm not going to go and teach. I'm actually going to go into radio now. And my mum still reminds me of that, I must say.
God bless mums.
Yeah. When opportunities have presented themselves, I've tended to explore them. And then I don't look back and think, oh, what if? And I think that's been my pathway all the way through. And this was no different. And I'm 51 now. I don't really give a shit about much, to be perfectly honest. The only things I do care about are my family and my obligation, my responsibility to ensure that my sons have opportunities, whatever they look like. And I can give those to them on so many different levels. That is being home and speaking life over my sons and saying you can be and do whatever you want. You don't have to work for someone. You can go and work for yourself. Being there when they're playing sport, being there when they get home. And those are the simple things that I can do for them that I haven't necessarily had capacity for in the past. And so that's my focus. And paying the bills, because you've still got to do that. But actually, they're my priority now. My sons, my husband, our big girls, you know, my whānau, my husband's whānau. For me, that's all that matters at this point in time. I've given so much to different things. And so for the next season, whatever that looks like, however long that lasts, that is the priority for me.
That's beautiful. That makes a lot of sense to me. For you to come out of that, what sounds like an incredibly high workload, and Not even just the time, as you say, the time through the day when you're actually doing all this stuff, but I imagine the mental attention as well, that you're never really clocking out of it.
You never, never. 6 days a week. You know, it's not Monday to Friday. Saturday night, you start thinking about Sunday's prep, and then you prep on the Sunday, and then you're back at work on the Monday. So your ability to think of anything else outside of the show was really, really difficult. And then going through menopause, throw that in there into the mix. That could have been 6-7 years. I'm not, seriously, I have no idea, because you just felt exhausted all the time. So it could have been both. So yeah, when I talk about capacity, I'm not just talking about physically. It is the drain, the mental drain that it has on you, and then the impact that that would have on everyone around me. Seriously, there were times I wouldn't have wanted to be around me, because I had no energy for anyone else. And if I felt pressure or stressed, then everybody else could feel that. And I'm sure at times it was like walking on eggshells around me. And that's because I didn't have the, again, I keep talking about this word capacity, but to be able to give to anybody else. And everything went into work, because the last thing you want to do is turn up the next day and not know what you're talking about. And so that takes time, that takes energy. And when you're talking about 5 or 6 interviews in one day on a huge range of topics, day after day after day, that takes a lot out of you. And because I operate at a level where high performance, nobody cares about what you do behind the scenes. They only care about your performance. And I learned that early on when I was playing for the Silver Ferns. It didn't matter if your dog died. It didn't matter if you were having issues with your relationship. It didn't matter if you were feeling well. Everybody had an opinion about your performance. That's all they cared about. Everything else was an excuse. And that's the kind of mentality that I had when I was working on Breakfast. The other thing I don't think people take into consideration as well, it's not just about the interviews, it's the bits you have to fill in between. It's the breaking news that happens as well. That all takes a lot of energy, that all takes a lot of thought and understanding too of your audience, but also the program itself. So, you know, it's a lot ensuring that I was giving my best performance every single day that I turned up on that show.
Now that you've had a little bit of space, look, I know it's been, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Three weeks. We're in week 3 now.
It's not long, so I'm sure you're still adjusting into it. But what has it been like stepping out of that and into your new sort of self-employed life and taking that bit of a beat, bit of a breather? What's been the biggest difference so far?
So the first week, I was like on a high. I was loving life. I had started, my project of the confidence course, which I had done online. And so it was a bit of a release of that, soft release. So whilst I was stepping away from one thing, I was also launching something else. And I felt really good about that. In week one, I had set myself a routine, because I know how important routine is for me. So I was getting up at 5:30, going for a walk, getting in the gym, using that initial time of the day just to give back to myself. And then the boys would be up, and it's breakfast, get ready for kura, and then they're out the door. And then the rest of the day was, again, planning, looking at the different things that I was doing with my online course. So everything kind of had its place. And then came week two, and I bottomed out. I had to sit in it. I felt very flat. What it came down to is I had no purpose. Every morning I would get up, had a show to do, so my focus was there. I was waking up every morning for what? There was nothing. And so I had to sit with that for a couple of days and go, okay, so what is your purpose, Jenny May? And yes, I talked earlier about my family and my sons and but actually, what's my purpose? That's for them. But what about me? My purpose on Breakfast was giving space for others to tell their stories, right? And I didn't have that anymore. And after a couple of days, I found some peace in that and gave myself a little bit of grace and said, Jema, it's only been a week and a half. Just calm down, sister. You're going to find your purpose. It's just like not right now. And so I'm still sitting in that space at the moment, but I'm more at peace this week than I was last week. The other part of that too is knowing that at some point I'm going to have to make some money because we have bills to pay. My husband runs a charitable trust, so funding for that is tight as well. I guess for me, the next few months are figuring out what is my purpose and how do I balance that with income. I'm currently designing the future that I want, the lifestyle that I want, but at the same time, I'm not closed off to, well, maybe you do have to work for someone, Jenny May, because you need to pay the power bill at the end of the month. We still need to put food on the table. So whilst I'm not closing off any opportunities, I'm also keeping my mind open to designing the life that I want. That life isn't about, you know, having the best of this or having the best of that. It is about having the capacity to be with my family, but at the same time, have capacity to pay the bills, to have enough. That's all I want, is enough. It's exciting, but the reality is I'm shit scared as well because I don't know what work is going to come or not come. You know, I love it when people have this amazing faith in you and they go, oh, you'll be fine. You know, you've done so many things. You know, you're great at this and that. You're going to be fine. And yes, I do believe that on a level, but at the same time, I'm the one in this position. I'm the one still trying to figure that out. I'm taking all of that positivity on board, but actually the future is uncertain and that on a level is scary, but not one I'm unfamiliar with.
Well, I was going to say, because you've gone through several pivots so far. It's quite funny because in some ways your career is so unique. You know, you've had these very high profile roles. You know, being a silver fern, not everyone gets to do that. Being on breakfast TV, not everyone gets to do that. And yet, in another way, I think it's so true of where we are with careers in general these days is that you don't do one thing for life. And that sometimes you have these changes in your career. It's not just a career change. It's an entire vocation, industry, everything change. So you've made some big changes, but I think a lot of people do now. So in terms of how you've changed and pivoted before and now you're looking at things again and going, okay, here we go again. Is there anything that you've learned from past career changes that you're pulling on now?
I think for me, it's about when you make a decision, go for it. Don't look back and second guess yourself. Sure, you will have those moments where you go, oh God, have I done the right thing? But for me, if it feels right, then I'm in. I'm in boots and all. I'm just taking this time to see how it all pans out. Where do I really want to go? You know, what are my non-negotiables? What is it that I want to do? What is it that I know that I don't want to do? And then that's my starting point. I think a lot of people want to pivot. I think there's a lot of unhappy people in the work that they do. But the reality is it's a weekly or a fortnightly or a monthly paycheck. And it's the stability that we all need, right? And so to step away from that is really, really scary, particularly if you have responsibilities. And many of us are trying just to do the best that we can for our kids, to give them whatever we didn't have. And so that's our reality. So to think about pivoting, to think about stepping outside of that is really, really difficult. Because what if I don't get another job? What if it doesn't work out? What if it does? It's one of the things that I did when I was at TVNZ years ago. I asked for a pay rise. I've never asked for anything. And I was beside myself because I didn't know what to say. I don't know how to talk myself up. And so what I did do was I found Tim Ferriss, author, podcaster. And one of the things he talked about was fear setting. And I thought, okay, so I sat down and I did this. So essentially what it was, this is what I want. I'm going to ask for a pay rise. So what is your fear if you ask for that? So for me it was they say no. They say actually no, but thanks. We no longer require your services. I mean, that wasn't even realistic, but that's what was going on in my head, right? Yeah. And so what did that mean? It meant that didn't have any money to pay the mortgage, didn't have money to put food on the table, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on from there if I didn't have a job. So the exercise is to do that. And then the next part of that is to offset. If I did lose my job, then what's the offset of that? Shoot, okay, so how would I create money for us? And so then I went through, okay, I could work a bit more at High Performance Sport New Zealand, which I was doing at the time, you know, maybe do some public speaking, get money that way. And so I went through that whole exercise. And what it did is it removed the doubt in my mind. And what it told me was, actually, if you did lose your job, here are 5, 6, 7 things, Shinimei, that you've listed that would actually be opportunities for you. And then the third piece of this, which is really important, and I'm going to cry, it's just bizarre, because the third part of it was, what if you don't do it? What is the impact of that? And I burst into tears. And I thought, all this time I've been riddled with self-doubt because I didn't feel like I deserved to even have the conversation. And so that part of the exercise was the powerful part, that I'll continue to work in a space where I don't feel like what I bring is valued. And after sitting there and going through that, sitting in front of the boss at the time and asking for a pay rise was the easy part. I didn't get the pay rise.
After all that.
I didn't get the pay rise. But what I did gain was self-respect.
Yeah.
That I actually gave myself permission whether to be rejected, to be whatever, but actually I respected myself enough to actually say, hey, I actually think I'm doing a fantastic job and I feel like you don't see it. That's what that gave me. It was a game changer for me.
Good for you. I love that.
Yeah. One of the most powerful exercises that I think anyone can do if they're sitting in a space where they're afraid to make a decision on whatever it is. It's that whole thing around taking action. You can't hide from a bill, right? It's still going to be there. You can't bury your head in the sand. You just have to take one step. And then another, and then another. And from that, you take your power back. You're not giving that up. And that was just one part of the process for me in terms of regaining that self-respect for myself. But so powerful.
I actually love that story ends with you not getting the pay rise, though. Not that I love that you didn't get a pay rise. I wish you did. But that it was still worth it. To you, because 100%. I think we overlook that, right? That sometimes going through that process and proving to yourself that you can do it and it was still worth it is so, so important. We get so focused on the outcome. And I think, God, you've made me emotional too. I'm such a contact crier. You should see me at weddings. I'm really bad.
Me too.
It's terrible. All right. Well, seat us apart if we're ever at the same wedding. But I think we get so focused on outcomes, right? And actually, the fact that you did still go through that process, you identified your fears and you got yourself ready to do it and you made your case and you felt good about that, no matter where that went. And I also think in that, you proved to yourself that you can do hard things. So, okay, that one didn't pan out. But then you face another life issue, like, say, where we're at now. And you know that you can do hard things. You've done them before. And you know you can handle it, even if it doesn't pan out perfectly. Don't you think there's so much strength in that?
I know there's so much strength in it because of what I gained that continued. Because again, if there's a decision that's really, really tough, what do? I sit down and go, what is it that you're afraid of, Jenny May? What is it that's holding you back? And actually diving into that. Because if we don't, we'll continue to keep shutting doors or not have hard conversations. Because we're not actually trying to unpack what is it about the situation that makes you so uncomfortable. And it can be very uncomfortable when you have to dive in. But there's so much power in that for yourself. Because I guarantee you, if you do that, you'll make the next step. Because once you understand what that fear is, and then if you have to offset that fear, then that gives you the confidence to be able to make the next step.
Yeah. Speaking of having the strength on some hard things, one of the things that struck me when I was thinking about having this chat with you, I have seen, you know, you've had a huge high profile. And so your name is mentioned all over the news and on social media and in some of those comment sections. If I'd seen some of that stuff said about me, I would have found that really difficult. And so A, did you see it? B, was it difficult? How do you deal with it?
90% of them I don't see. There's the odd one that kind of slips through. I guess the beautiful thing about where I'm at and have been for the last couple of years is that I can look at things like that and go, wow, I'm really sorry for you. Actually, I feel really sad for you that you have that much anger or hate or whatever it is towards me or anyone else, and you actually don't even know me. Yeah. So that says more about you than it does about me. I also feel for those that write those things. I actually feel for their families. And I have sons, and I go, you know, I'm mindful of some of the things that I do. Well, most of the things that I do, that this is a reflection on them, just like I tell them, you are a reflection of me as I am a reflection of you. So whatever you do, that's about me. And whatever I do, it's about you as well. So I always feel that way when I see comments and I go, man, I hope your kids aren't like that, really. And if they see that kind of language or behavior, that they think that that's okay and that's not cool. I wouldn't be doing half the stuff I've done, Francis, if I looked at comments. This isn't a new thing for me. I've been a silver fern. You still got pressure. You still got comments, opinions.
Couch coaches,
all of it from back then. And that actually was a really great foundation for me going into media. And there's the quote, it's super long, I've got a brain like a sieve, but it talks about being in the arena. When you step in there with me, then we can have a conversation. Until that point, you don't know.
Yeah, no, I so agree with that. Was there ever any type of comment that was easier to dismiss? And was there ever any type of comment that did get under your skin a little bit?
No.
Really?
Same, same. You know, because you put yourself out there, people feel like they have the right to say what they want or try to bring you down. I don't buy into it because you don't see what I do on a daily. You don't know what it takes to put yourself out there. Because if you did, you wouldn't be writing those comments. And I challenge anybody to come when they see me and say what they say on social media. You don't know me. You think you know me, but you don't know me. And I feel for you.
One of the things I think as well, being in the job that you were in, it did give you an opportunity to highlight some very important things. Are there any moments in that media career that you've had so far that you're particularly proud of?
For me, it's not the big interviews. For me, it's the moments where people who have never done TV before and all of a sudden they're on breakfast TV around the country.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. Terrifying. And having a conversation about what's happening in their part of the world. For me, it's about that community voice. This was part of my purpose for breakfast, was actually giving opportunity, giving space for those voices to be heard. Obviously, there was the Cyclone Gabrielle that went through the East Coast and the opportunity to again give a platform for those who had been impacted in Te Karaka, just outside of Gisborne. I'm forever grateful for them allowing me to share their stories about what had happened to them during that period of time. Those are the things that I'm most proud of, as being a safe space for people to be able to hold them in those moments when their whole world has been turned upside down, and to say to them, it's okay for you to tell your story and I'm going to honour that for you. That's it for me. It's the simple stuff.
Yes and no. I mean, is that simple? Because it's
funny
you say
that. Well, it is. It's humanity.
That.
It's humanity. It's being a human being.
But it's hard, right? To hold that weight for people.
For me, it's just about being a good person, a good human being. Just because you're an anchor for the national breakfast show isn't actually, that's the platform, right? That's the privilege, is being in that position. The rest of it is just being a human being. That's it. Holding somebody's hand, putting your arm around them, dropping a tear. Not about you. It's about sharing their grief, whatever they're going through. Because by doing that, so many other people who are watching will know the same pain or have had similar experiences. And for me, that's the point. So that others can see themselves in the stories that are being told, so that we don't feel alone.
Do you think you're going to miss that?
Yeah. That's the part that I miss. But at the same time, I feel like there's still platforms for me to do that. I'm trying to figure out social media. Our big girls gang, Mama, you should have hashtags. What does that mean? I don't even know what that means. Well, if you hashtag it, then it blah, blah. And I'm going, okay, cool. Right, let's try
Help
that. Me. Oh, you should have captions. What's a caption? Okay, it's just a thing on, oh, okay, right. Yeah, let's do that. And actually, you know, I have people following me. And so I kind of go, oh, if you want to listen to whatever I'm talking about this morning, then that's cool. So I still feel like I have a connection with people.
You mentioned before about sort of looking at what you do and you don't want to do now. And as you sort of relook at that and where next, do you have thoughts yet of yes, this, no to that? And how do you go about setting those priorities?
So before I left TVNZ, I made sure that I engaged with someone who could help me with transition.
Like a coach?
Yeah, just really kind of how do I do this the best way? How do I set myself up for the future, not just leave and then kind of figure stuff out along the way? Yes, I could do that, but if there's an opportunity for me to actually talk to somebody who does that, then I'm all about it. So before I left, I made sure that I had someone that I could talk to around that. And I did that the day before. My first session was the day before I walked out of TVNZ. And the thing that she gave me was, you need to mind map. You need to get out of the house, take yourself off to a coffee shop, sit down and write out So over the last 10 years of your career, what have you loved? What have you disliked or hated? What have you liked about it? So I did that the Monday after I left. And I was writing lots of things down. That's the way I went. And then I looked at my clock and it was 15 minutes. And I went, wow, surely I can't be done in 15 minutes, which was another realization for me that my brain bounces all over the place. And that actually trying to think, you know, and dive deep down was actually quite difficult for me because I'm used to having to handle, again, multiple interviews on different topics. And so I'm constantly bouncing. So I had to sit there, and then actually I left it for about a week and a half, and then I went back to it and started writing again. So that's been huge in terms of giving me a bit of a map as to what is the next bit. So out of that came non-negotiables and what I didn't want. And so what I don't want at this point in time is to work for someone. I want to be able to say, yep, I'll do that. Yep, no, not interested in doing that. So that's as far as I've got so far. The only other thing I've put on that list, which I've already done, is enrolled in a Te Reo Māori course, which is online. So that's been the first part. And then the second part, I've only just met with her again, is actually looking at things like my LinkedIn profile. She goes, you've got three. And I went, what? She says, you've got three. And I went, oh, do I? She goes, whoops. And I did send you a Connect, whatever that is. And I was like, don't know. So she said, right, that's all I want you to do is jump on LinkedIn because that's a huge opportunity to be able to connect with businesses or, you know, for my confidence course, there might be opportunities there, all of those sorts of things. I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, that's going to take me a few hours to work through all of that, but also to write up a professional profile. Whilst I did a CV a couple of years ago, she had a quick look at it. She goes, oh, yeah, that looks like a shopping list. We don't do that nowadays. Oh, so it was 2 years ago. I didn't really know what I was doing. But just that in itself too is going, right, you need a professional profile. Okay, so I need to start working on that. I mean, you know, I like to get shit done, man. I don't like sitting around. Everybody's saying, you know, just give yourself time. I'm like, bro, I don't have time and I don't want to. I don't, yeah, sleep's good. I get to sleep until 6 o'clock. Amazing. I mean, that's a,
what a sleep in.
Huge sleep in for me. I don't need more sleep. What I need is to understand what I'm doing and where I'm going to and figure out my purpose and then go for it. And that's why I finished when I did and gave myself a month's lead in before the country shuts down over the Christmas New Year period so that I'm not starting on the back foot come January, that I actually have may not have it all figured out, but at least I'm partway there. At least I'm not starting from the beginning. And if I'd worked all the way through to the 19th or whenever it is, the last show of Breakfast is, you're wrecked. Absolutely wrecked. Do you think I have time or capacity to think about what the future looks like? No. And then middle of January comes around and all of a sudden you go, holy, what am I going to do?
When it came to that last conversation with whoever at the TVNZ leadership, who pulled the trigger on that and what feels true to you about the ultimate reason why you decided to leave?
I mean, at the end of the day, it was a decision that was made by both parties. It was a refresh on the way for breakfast. I'd had enough. It was time. And there was about a month before the announcement came out. And I'd been at home. I hadn't been well and I'd been at home. And I'd been at home for a few days. And in the end, I was off for a week. That week was a game changer for me. I had a week at home with my sons. I was there in the mornings when they woke up, gave them massive hugs before they walked out the door, told them how much I love them, as I do every day now, and say, go and be awesome. You know you're awesome, eh? You're going to be awesome, my son. Yeah, mama. And out the door they go. The change I saw in my sons in that 1 week of just having me around, I knew at that moment, this is the right thing to be doing. The hardest part about it was taking the leap of faith in myself that I could still bring in an income. That was it. When you're used to that regular income, as I talked about earlier, they call them golden handcuffs, man. That's what was keeping me there. When you let go of that and have faith in yourself, that actually, yes, you have to have a plan, and I'm building the plan. So it's not like I'm going, oh, yes, just take a leap of faith. You're going to be fine, Jamie. You know, I'd been building my confidence course. I'd been building different things in the background to give myself the confidence to be able to step out of that. But that was it. When I saw the change in my sons, when I actually got to know them in that 1 week, I feel terrible saying when I got to know my sons. But they've only known me in one job since they were three. They've never seen me in the mornings because I've never been there because I've been on breakfast for 6 years. I wasn't there to give them the best send-off that I possibly could into the world. They haven't had that from me. I actually think my sons are really, really cool. I mean, prior to that, it was just do what I need you to do and do it now because I've got stuff to do and I just need you to do this so that I'm not so stressed. There were a lot of tears. There were a lot of yelling and apologies from me to my sons just going, I'm so sorry, son. I shouldn't have said that. Oh, it's okay, Mama. And it breaks your heart. You go, no, it's not, son. It's not okay. To see that, my relationship change with my sons and see how they changed. There's nothing more in this world that matters more than that. That's why for me, now is about just having enough. Enough to be able to put food on the table. Enough to pay the bills. That's it. That's all I want. And to be at home with my sons.
Mate, you've got me again. Stop doing this. I so strongly identify with that. You know, when you say your kids were three, when you started on this, I mean, I've got a four-year-old and an 18-month-old and it's a special age, right? And being around for the chaos of the mornings and the evenings is special. Boy, does it go fast.
I did put up a Instagram post one day of me sitting there drinking my smoothie going with the caption saying, "Saying, wonder whether it was actually easier to talk to politicians on a weekly than it is to wrangle my children in the morning." Seriously.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes. On your behalf, yes.
I'm like, damn, this is what everybody's had to put up with for the last 6 years. I don't know. Might be easier to get up at 3:30 and just miss the chaos, you know?
Take me back.
But it's beautiful. I love it. You know, my boys get up, they come and they give me a big hug. They're just settled. They're so much more settled before they go out into the world. And we know what that means. As adults, we understand before we go into our day how good it feels when you're settled in everything. You know, we know what it's like to have chaos, 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 and then take a breath and then go, right, I'm going to go. I'm good. Everything at home is good. You know, hubby's good. Kids are good. I'm good. I want that for my sons.
It's interesting though, right? Because there is, as you say, the financial realities of this. This is so important and life first. And I mean, that's why I changed so much of my money life, to be able to put life first. But it does, there are financial realities around that, yeah? And so as you started, I saw in a previous interview you did once where you had people expecting you to have a helicopter or something.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's not really what people expect in the media, is it, in terms of salary?
No, not at all. But it was a salary nonetheless, right? And it allowed us to have a home. It's allowed us to have what everybody should have, which is the basics in life, right? I've given myself 2 months of trying to figure things out before reality begins to hit.
What was it like in terms of the financial side? Because, you know, you sat down and you talked about what you want from your career and what next. Was there anything else that you did in terms of, okay, hang on, batten down the hatches on this and we've got this over here? You know, what did you do on the financial side?
So we've had a financial advisor for the last couple of years. And going into last year, gosh, I think we had 4 presenters at one stage and went to 3 and then 2 this year. We had to make the decision about whether we were applying for those positions, and there were 3 of us that had to apply for 2 spots. So at that point, I went to my financial advisor and I said, can I afford to walk away? And at that point, she said, no, you can't. So that had a huge impact on my decision that I made about applying for that job. What I'm very grateful for was when I joined up at TVNZ, we also joined up to an investment plan. And so I had that little bit of a nest egg sitting there.
Shares or something?
Yep.
Yeah, nice.
So that gave me, again, the confidence to know that I can give myself a couple of months here to figure stuff out before I really have to dig in.
How did it feel making that leap? Because yes, that is a certain amount of runway. It's not endless though, is it?
Not at all. And like I say, a couple of months. But again, I had been working on my online confidence course for months. I was already creating something and future-proofing myself. I wasn't sitting there going into the unknown as such. Yes, I still don't know how it's going to pan out, but I was taking control of things. I was already making steps towards the next version of me. That gave me the confidence to go, right, okay, this is where I'm at in terms of career-wise at TVNZ. This is how I'm feeling. My priority is my children. I have this little nest egg there. Let's pull the trigger. And I'm grateful that I have a husband who is like, babe, go for it. Even though it's scary, we've done some scary stuff before. And then I think about that week that I had at home and you go, there it is. If that's not a sign, Jenny May, that this is the time, then, you know, I don't know what is.
I kind of feel like it's so easy to wait for perfect. And it's so easy to wait for that feeling of I'm done. I don't know if that feeling of I'm done and ready ever comes. I think you kind of have to be doing what you did of I'm building and oh, tipping point, here we go. And you just kind of have to jump and finish the rest as you go. I mean, what do you think of that theory? It's been a guiding one for me.
I've always jumped.
Yeah.
If I look back on my different careers, I've always jumped. I was a police officer for 9 years, walked into Starbucks one day, banged into somebody who was working on radio, who was a bit of a local legend. And he said, oh, what are you up to? And I went, no, nothing. He goes, have you thought about radio? And I went, no. Don't you have to have a radio voice? He said, no. And that was it. So I jumped into that. And then the next opportunity I got was a phone call from somebody who worked at TVNZ who said, there's a job going here as a sports reporter. I reckon you should apply for it. And I went, really? Got the job. These are opportunities. I don't want to sound like a wanker. Because I understand there's pressures for people and those responsibilities keep us stuck where we are. So I understand that because I've lived it. So it's really hard to see outside of that and the potential of opportunities that are sitting in front of you. But they're there. And, you know, I could say I'm lucky because the opportunities I've had have actually been amazing ones. Actually had nothing to do with luck. It's about all the experiences that you have in your life that you could offer to others.
There's something that really stuck with me is that life, and obviously we talk about investing a lot here. And so everyone knows you take a bit more risk, you get a bit more return. But I just think that's also life. That so much of our life is set up for you get rewarded for taking risks. Now, those risks don't always pan out. That's why they're called risks.
Correct.
But you have to take a risk at a certain point if you want that good stuff. And you have to decide which risks are worth it. And then you kind of just have to gun it. You know, if you're in, you're in. And so here you are again, taking another risk and resetting.
The risk isn't for me. The risk is for my family. because that's my responsibility, is to provide my husband and I. There's no risk to me. I'm going to give things a go no matter what. That's just how I'm built. And I've done that my entire career. I lost myself at some point along the way, but I feel invigorated at 51 of taking control of what I want my future to look like. Now, if that doesn't work out, no matter what, I'm still going to be super proud of myself for actually going for it and believing in myself and what I can create in the future.
When you say you lost yourself along the way, tell me more about what you mean by that.
Oh, I just think, you know, at some point you lose that confidence. Mm-hmm.
Was that while you were on air?
Oh, always. You know, there's moments where you second guess yourself, whether that's me during an interview on Breakfast, whether it's me emceeing an event, whether it's me wanting to speak up in a meeting. Confidence comes and goes. There was certainly a time on Breakfast where I hit rock bottom. And it's a pretty yuck place to be when you're so exposed on national telly and feeling like you can't get anything right, or you might not have done an interview as well as you thought you could have. And then you have to turn that around because you've got another interview coming up in 10 or 15 minutes time. So being able to ride that wave for a period of several months. And again, this is where I come back to perimenopause, man. I reckon that had a huge impact on me. Like seriously, on my confidence, on my anxiety, how I interacted with people without me knowing, without me even understanding what it was. And that all of a sudden hormones were playing a part in who I was, how I was feeling, how I was interacting with people. It had a massive impact. And once I figured that out, actually, a lot of that started to change. But I just think through life, you know, your confidence goes up and down, and I talk about losing myself and you kind of get sucked in to the big machine and then you kind of figure out, oh, who am I? This is where I started out as. I wanted to be able to, you know, create space and opportunity for people, and then it becomes a daily grind until you then remember, that's right, that's why I do what I do. And I just think you go through that cycle, and I've certainly done that over the years.
Where does that leave you now as you are reassessing, resetting, obviously at the beginning of that process, but you've been a sports person, you've been a broadcaster, you are now going into a new future. Are you interested in staying in the media world at all? Is it maybe a return to the sports world? Is it going into the self-employed life? I mean, obviously there is a certain amount of other people might need to say yes to you or give you opportunities, but in an ideal world, which one of those identities do you lean into the most next?
That's the exciting thing, right? I get to design that, but at the same time, I don't really know what that looks like yet. And I'm okay with that. I feel like I need to not reinvent myself, but actually take myself in a different direction than what I have done, because that's kind of what I do. Going from athlete, policewoman, teacher, high performance coach, broadcaster. And it's figuring out, pulling all that stuff together. What do I create for myself that's unique? And it might be a bit of everything. I don't know. But what I do know is that I don't go backwards. Unless I need to pay a bill.
Unless life intervenes with reality.
Again, I'm not going to shut everything off. I mean, you know, it's wonderful, JMA, to have all this, woo, this is what my life's going to look like. And then next minute, oh, okay, bro, you haven't had a job for 2 months. You need to go.
Time to get a job.
Hey, and I don't care. Like, seriously, I don't care. Because, again, it's not about me.
Yeah.
It's not about me. It's about providing for my loved ones. That's it.
if someone's listening to this, and like I said, right back at the beginning, you know, it's at one point such a unique situation you're in and another, so not. So if someone else is at a point where they're like, I need to switch things up, I need to pivot, it might be something totally new. From the various changes and pivots you've made throughout your life so far, if there was just one piece of advice you could distill it down to for other people, what would you say to them?
You have to believe in yourself. Because if you don't believe in yourself, you're not going to take that first step. What is it that you want? What is it that you don't want? What is it about your current situation that you don't want? Once you understand those things, then you have to make a step towards that. But that takes belief in yourself. When you don't know the outcome, but you still want to do it anyway. And I guess that's part of the second thing that I wanted to say is ensuring that you don't just throw caution to the wind and jump in and do something. Actually sit, if you can, with somebody who's a financial advisor to say, this is how much money you're going to need over the next little bit while you figure things out in order to pay for the mortgage, in order to pay for the rent, in order to, you know, whatever your outgoings are. That was one of the most powerful things that I did last year when I was deciding whether I was going to apply for the breakfast role or not. I was in an absolute tiz. What am I going to do? Do I want to do it? I'm exhausted. This is a good time for maybe me to step away. And then the one thing that changed it for me was the one phone call I had with a financial advisor. And we ran the numbers and she went, now's not the time. When I knew that, everything became clear, crystal clear about what was needed, what I needed to do. So I didn't jump into it blind. I didn't just say, right, this is the right time, I'm out. And then go, oh, shit. Actually, maybe I shouldn't have done that because now we're in a whole heap of hurt. So start planning. Start looking at the things that you can do outside of what you're currently doing.
What's the old thing that courage isn't the absence of fear? It's having fear and taking the necessary action anyway?
Absolutely. But it's the action part. That's it. That's the action. You can't sit in courage. You can't sit in confidence. You can't sit in belief. You build that by taking one step at a time. And actually, those are building blocks towards you believing in yourself. Oh, I've done that. Oh, I've done that. Oh, yep, I did something else. I did something else. It's about the action that you take.
Well, you've made me tear up twice in this interview.
Sorry, not sorry.
That's the first time that's ever happened. Thank you so much, Jenny May.
Wasn't this supposed to be about finance, this whole podcast?
No, it's gone really deep. Jesus. My goodness.
Yeah.
Look, before I let you go, yeah, well, I will be holding that against you, making me cry on camera. My goodness. Before I let you go, where can people keep in touch with you? And especially if they want to try out your confidence course, where can they find that? Give us everything.
Good question. Hello at JennyMayClarkson.com. Nailed it. otherwise, I'm on Insta. Seriously, J. May Clarkson, I think I am. I'm not quite 100% sure, but yeah.
I mean, I'm getting there. Like you having three LinkedIn profiles.
Oh, and on LinkedIn. I'm there too. Just click on the right one. I've got a yellow shirt on, I think.
There we go.
Yes, I have. There you go.
I'm going to find the right links after this and put them in the show description.
Thank you. Thank you. That's very helpful. Loving your work.
Jenny May Clarkson, thank you so much for coming on.
Pleasure's all mine.
And look, if this episode was helpful to you and if it made you tear up like it did for me, then send it to a friend. Let's all cry about money together. Until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, A financial advisor is always the best bet.